B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Belger and Maz, 3:02 in the afternoon. Here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, we're joined by former Patriots linebacker and newest member of the 98.5 The Sports Hub team, Ted Johnson. TJ, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How are we doing today?
It's great to see you.
Ted the Neck.
I've been told we have an unveiling to begin today's program.
Yes, we do. We do. Okay, and here's the deal, guys. So it's been great to be on Belger and Maz the last couple weeks and now today. But, you know, it's funny. I'd come on for the 3 to 4 o'clock hour and give my takes, and then I'd get in my car, and I'd go to wherever I was going, my son's basketball game, daughter's, whatever, and I'd listen to the rest of the Belger and Maz show, and it was a theme started kind of popping out, like this reoccurring kind of message kept coming from the Belger and Maz show the 2 hours after I left these shows, and it was dawning on me, is there like this campaign, this underground campaign I don't know about, this campaign, I don't know if it's a campaign or like an agenda or like this campaign slogan that started to just prop itself out. And I just said, for 2 hours after I'd leave the show, this is all I'd hear from the Belger and Maz show. And Tony would lead the charge on this deal. And Murray, Big Jim would jump in a little bit, and then Belger would get in. But this is the recurring theme, the campaign mantra that I kept hearing from you guys for the last 2 weeks. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go.
Here we go. So this is visual, too. He's unzipping.
Here we go.
I disagree with Ted Johnson.
Okay.
So he's got a t-shirt on that says, I disagree with Ted Johnson.
This is all I kept hearing for 2 hours, is I disagree with Ted Johnson. You know what, Belger? I disagree with Ted Johnson. If I had a nickel for every time I heard, I disagree with Ted Johnson.
Now you've been way too positive. I said, what happened to you?
Wait, but that only happens after you leave?
Exactly. Tony, I'm sitting there listening to just, I disagree with Ted Johnson. Hey, I disagree with Ted Johnson. I'm like, God, why wouldn't they say that when I was there?
Because we're collectively afraid of getting snapped over the knee.
Because now, as you can see the shirt, Ted, how big are the biceps? Just give me
that.
What is
up
that?
There again.
Jesus.
Some vascularity going
through. Holy smokes.
I found the gym again.
Don't be afraid to get a one size bigger.
Okay. You got it, man. You got it. So, hey, you know what? I work hard for this physique, okay?
Me too.
Let it out, baby.
So show it off, right?
Let it out.
I had to get that off my chest. Well, I thought we'd have a little fun today.
But you've been right. They flipped the switch.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Just tell, I think, by the Van Oy audio that you guys keep playing. That is incredible audio.
Why do you think?
But because you just never hear the candor from a Patriot player.
Right.
And particularly a player that's still got a game left to play. You know, I mean, this is maybe stuff you might hear, you know,
another team.
Danny Amendola's going out the door.
I was going to say, in a car down in South Beach, you know, doing an interview, like just saying whatever he wants to say on his way out. So it was very fascinating to hear Van Oy be so honest and candid about what's going on. And I think his comments kind of mirror what I've been saying in the sense that there was literally a switch that just turned on. And you guys have been saying this point over and over again. They've never done it, so what makes you think this is any time? And I'm like, I get it. They've never done that, but the circumstances with the Super Bowl, it just felt like this team, and we know historically teams that lose the Super Bowl kind of have this dark cloud that hangs over them, but you don't think that might be the Patriots' case because the Patriots are in its own category, right? But it literally lingered all season long, and you could just tell. I looked at, particularly on defense, it just would jump out at me when I'm watching the film, like, these guys look disengaged. Yeah, they're gonna let the offense win this game. You know, it's like, stopping the run's optional today. You know, it just looked like a team that was disengaged, not having a lot of fun, uninspired football going on. And then it set up perfect for them. And I know I've been beating this point down y'all's throats. After the Steelers game, it's one of those deals where you kind of look at, okay, what do we got left here, boys? We got Buffalo at home and we got the Jets at home. We got to win the next two to at least try to secure a first round bye. We got two cupcakes. Let's go get fat on these guys. Let's go get our stingers back. Let's go play well. Let's go get kind of our mojo back, if you will, and then let the chips fall where they may. And then when they got the Chargers in that first divisional round, it was like, if I was in that locker room, I'd be like, dude, did we luck out or what? I know the Chargers on paper, and I said this to you guys when you had me on a couple weeks ago, the Chargers on paper are a better team, and I think if it was a neutral site and both teams were equally rested, I would pick the Chargers, but they weren't. It was huge kind of discrepancy in the external factors that you hate talking about played a big part in that game, and I knew it would, and they knew it would. They went out there, feasted on the Chargers, and then we go, all right, we got the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. Okay, it's an opponent we've already played, Teddy, so the mistakes we made in that game earlier, we're not going to make in this game.
The back of that T-shirt, is I disagree with Ted Johnson's the front. The back should say, I was right, suck it. Like, I mean, because it's true. I mean, I did not see that coming. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
I didn't. Ted, how do you think they played in Kansas City?
Well, I mean, I thought they played really well. I mean, I thought it was a gutsy performance. I really did. I mean, there were gutsy performances all around. You know, it's hard to win there. That's a very good quarterback on that team, and he's going to be a special player. I give it up, man, you know, because they executed the game plan perfect. What was the game plan in that game against the Chiefs?
Slow it down, keep the ball. Yeah.
The same game plan it was the week before. No different. A lot of people don't want to disregard the fact that Andy Reid decided to defer to the second half. I mean, Bill was like, oh, love it. Love it. You're going to give me the ball first. That's against your weakest, part of your team, against your defense. And watch what we do in the opening drive. We're going to do the same thing we did to the Chargers last week because your run defense sucks. And we're going to keep your quarterback sitting there freezing his ass off before he can even get the ball for the first time. So, to me, that it all kind of played into the perfectly for the Patriots and just the start of that game.
Does this one play in perfectly to the Patriots?
I feel like this was the best draw for them.
Why?
You know, the big things that jump out at me, okay, is Sean McVay's youth. Oh, Ted, okay, you know, it's like, who cares? He's, he's done a great job there for the last 2 years, but this is a different deal. This is the Super Bowl. This is a whole different level of competition and pressure. So I think McVay is going to be in over his head on that side. And I think when you look at how it comes down to these games, a lot of times it's like, how does Bill game plan for the coordinators? How does he game plan for Wade Phillips? Okay, he's had great success against Wade Phillips in the past.
Well, except the last time.
The last one, right? I mean, and so it was the first time that Wade Phillips called a game in which he mixed up his coverages. All right. Now, Wade Phillips kind of, so I look at like the matchups or scheme and intellectually who's going to beat who on kind of in the game. I think Belichick can beat Wade Phillips all day long. I think he can put a game plan on offense that can move the ball up and down the field. And I just think he's seen it all. He's seen it all, and he'll know how to stop that Rams offense. So I give the coaching decisively to the Patriots. That's the first thing. And I just think Jared Goff, he's not ready for prime time. You know, I mean, there's just, you saw him kind of losing his nerve a little bit in the Saints game. You know, it's like, okay, hey, you know, this is a whole different deal.
I think there's no question that the opening to the Saints game with the crowd noise and the snap count, all of that's like they hadn't prepared for it. That was eye-opening. They didn't settle down. I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, they could have gotten their doors blown off, and they didn't. They settled down. But that sort of stood out to me, too. Like, did you prepare for that one?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say this, too, Mike. What is Jared Goff really bad at? He's bad at getting the ball out under pressure. And this team, this defense in particular, they've dialed up the pressures big time in the perfect kind of situations, particularly in that third and three or more. They come at you, but they're coming at you even on first and second down. So he's going to have blitz packages. They're going to be confusing. He's going to do a great job of disguising. And Jared Goff's going to have to figure out what the hell is going on out there, and I think he's going to have a hard time.
Okay. Hey, sorry.
No, you go.
So, Ted, you know, talking about the coaching and the quarterback, who had the coaching edge in the Super Bowl last year?
I would say Belichick.
And how about the backup quarterback for the Eagles? Did you fear him going into the game?
No.
So I just...
In other words, I disagree with Ted Johnson.
Yeah, I hate to say it that way, but yes, I disagree with Ted Johnson.
I don't think he's going to go into this game and all of a sudden, right before the game, bench Stephon Gilmore. And it's going to have an impact. It's going to ripple through the locker room. That's going to have them all already before the kickoff kind of unsure of what the hell's going on. That decision, and you talk about the humanity of Bill Belichick. For me, I mean, and that is a juicy, juicy topic. I love that you guys are talking about it because I find it very fascinating.
What do you think happened there, Teddy?
Look, here's what I think. I think Bill, so I always say this about Bill when it comes to that decision. I go, That's going to haunt Bill Belichick for the rest of his life. So for it to haunt him, that means he's got to feel like he screwed up.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. I think.
Do you think he feels that way?
Here's what I think is a little bit to happen. He's kind of like, you know, he's got three kids, right? And I think from what I'm told, he's a loving dad. He really dotes on his daughter. He's got a girlfriend, a lady friend. He hangs. Mm-hmm. You don't think that Dave, dad, or you know Billy, the girlfriend, hey. You wish you had that one back, maybe? Yeah, you think you maybe were a little too hard on Malcolm on that one? Mm-hmm, probably. You don't think his daughter would come? Now, Pops, what Malcolm Butler, what did he do to you, Dad?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I wish I could maybe have that one back. Yeah.
He will never.
Do you think he feels
he'll like, never admit it.
He'll never say it.
Ever. And I can tell you from experience, I'm not going to get into the details of it. But I have had Bill Belichick actually say to me, "You're right, Ted."
No, he did not. He did not.
I swear. You know, and I don't want to give the context or anything, but I called him out on something, told me he's wrong. He denied it, and I kept hammering him on the point. And he actually said to me, "Ted, you're right. I screwed up."
Well, I thought the conversation.
It was just me and him in his office. I was like, "Did anybody hear that?"
Now that's a T-shirt.
Yeah. From experience, I think. The guy is he's got a human piece to him. He's not a-hole 24/7, right?
But this fascinating thing, do you feel it's in his bag of tricks to go to the guys this week and say, "We left one on the table last year. We left one on the table last year. We're not going to let that happen again." And mm-hmm. that's what Van Noy mm-hmm. was talking yep. about. And that's mm-hmm. another thing. We talk about this chip on their shoulder and that thing you could tell immediately coming off the field. Everyone thinks we suck. You know, like they're playing that mm-hmm. card. But another one is, we left one on the table last year, and we're yeah. not going to let that. We're going to do it again.
Those words will never come out of his mouth. But is it implied? Yes. Is it? Is kind of something that you feel is the case? Yes. It doesn't have to be said just like that. But can it very much be a feeling that that's the case, without question? And Van Noy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what Van Noy said, because he gave us a peek into the psychology of the team this year.
Exactly.
And it's nobody ever does that for that team. And so it was kind of like, there it is.
Does he get the old mimeograph copy in his locker, "Come see me, BB"? Because that's a little off script, right?
It's very off script. It's very off script. But you know what? I don't know. I think Bill's changed. I think he's not the same.
That's right.
Chill Bill.
He lost his stinger.
He's Chill Bill. He's lost his stinger. So I don't think he probably polices that maybe as much as he used to, because I'll be honest with you. When did the hype videos start? When did all the self-promotion and the T-shirts and all the, social media stuff that's being put out there every week by some of these guys? I mean, that's been going on for a while.
Okay, we'll take your calls with Ted Johnson. Here's Van Noy again, if you don't know what we're talking about. This was on Beadle and Zoe yesterday, and then we'll get right to your phone calls.
I think, honestly, just after what happened last year and the Super Bowl, and I feel like guys are hungry, and I feel like we got humbled, and it was a humbling experience, and we're not taking things for granted.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mads.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
You have been as excited maybe as you've been in a long time. What was it about this game, this moment, that made you produce that emotion for you?
It was just the odds were stacked against us. And it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. You know, we started off so slow. The last four games have been our best games. We ran it great in Buffalo. We threw it pretty good in the Jets. We really balanced. Defense playing really well. Played great against Chargers last week. And then, this is a game offensively we did a good job. We had a couple little screw-ups, but pretty good for the most part. And then, defensively, they hung on and played their butts off, shut them out in the first half, which was pretty spectacular. And you're not going to shut this team out, for four quarters, certainly not at home. And it was a great team win.
Teddy wanted to play that because Tom references starting to turn around against Buffalo and especially the Jets.
My victory lap.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, who's got the stinger now?
Seriously. That is a win over the Jets. That's something Chatham would say. Like, they flipped a switch against the Jets, and it turned out to be. So what happened?
Yeah. Well, there was just a lot of evidence I mean, you know, look, you can look at stats all day. You can look at, oh, they're a weight record. Okay, yeah, and you can look at numbers and massage it and to make your argument. Or you can just kind of, you know, see, look things, you know, in a broader perspective. And that's what I was doing. And it just, I just like, man, you know what? I'm a big body language guy, okay? And I'm guessing, I just have a feeling the Felger Mass Show probably hates body language.
Oh, no, no, we love it.
Oh,
no, we love it.
Especially when it's negative. Language? Oh, yeah, we'll read into anything.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. So we're on the same page here. I just, the body language shifted. The comments I'd hear, the way the guys talked, what I would see on the field, a little bit more togetherness, a little bit more kind of camaraderie, having each other's backs. Getting excited for each other, little things like that. You know, these guys are pros. Who cares about that? It matters. It matters. And it just started to kind of shape and look to me. I took myself in the locker room, and I'm just thinking, what would I be thinking? What if I was a coach for the Patriots? How would I be selling this season to my team, to my players? And I would be selling the fact, yeah, we haven't been the best iteration of Patriots in recent history. But that can all change if we do this, this, and this. It's set up, boys, for us perfectly. Yeah, we just got embarrassed by the Steelers. Got it. But everything we want is still in front of us. We win these next two games at home against Cupcakes. All right, we get a first round bye, and whoever we host is going to have to, you know, is going to be coming into our place where we do pretty well, you know, already having had played a game in wild card, and then let the chips fall where they may. And so, and oh, by the way, we got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you know, at the helm. And they usually, you know, show up in prime time.
Okay, two more quick ones on Brady before we go to the phones. You think Bill and Brady have all made up, all kissy-kissy? Because that was another thing coming out of this one that, you know,
they're on the love boat again.
Yeah, love boat, exactly. It's all gossip, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, here's what I think. I think they love each other right now. I think there's a lot of love. I think there's a lot of, like, just kind of warm feelings, fuzziness going on. But I think love is kind of a fragile thing, kind of, you know? And I feel like, you know, it can take just one thing to kind of upset it a little bit. Is there trust issues? Yes. You know, if you want to look at this thing like a relationship, you know, I think the trust has been broken. And I think they might not trust each other to a certain degree. But I think they probably have each other with warm regard right now because they know that they're on the precipice of doing it again. So let's just kind of... And I'm going to use a personal experience. I've actually had a mea culpa with Belichick where it was like, we hugged it out, man.
No.
Swear to you. It was unbelievable. It was like, we hugged it out. It was one of these things where we just said, okay, are we ready to move on and stop being little babies to each other? Yeah. All right. And we did. And we didn't have a problem for, you know, the next 2.5 years. So point is, Belichick can arrive at a place with a player where he can – he can kind of put the past behind him. And I think, you know, when you're winning and things, you know, things are good like they are right now. I mean, this season looked, you know, it looked dire, right? But the last 2 weeks, and I find it amazing too, you guys, that people are endearing themselves to this team. Right?
I felt that way after the Kansas City game.
Right? Tony, it's like, so this team basically was sleepwalking through the season. That's what they were doing. So they come in with not a lot of expectations. Tommy's old, Gronk this team's, you know, the worst, you know, the 2009 Patriots, blah, blah, blah. And then now they do this the last 2 weeks, and it's like, I mean, the propping up of this team, right? I mean, and nobody likes an underdog more than this town and this city, right? I mean,
well, and no one uses it to their advantage quite like the Patriots. Right. I mean, so, they'll make themselves underdog just to play the card.
But just that little phenomenon is fascinating to me. That in 2 weeks, the entire season's been erased, and here we go.
Finally, quickly, Brady's last game. Do you think that's at all on the table? Is that anything you would consider here? Is this, you know, people have started to bring it up. I guess you would if you're 41, but is that even worth bringing up here?
You know, I think if Tom and Bill didn't make up in front of the world and we all saw the audio or something, like, I think maybe that this could be his last game. If there were still issues, if it was still this season was just kind of a struggle and things weren't working out and maybe there was, you know, an issue that arose that we, you know, that we found out about like we did in the Seth Wickersham article last year, that maybe this is the end. But it all looks pretty good right now. And that's why I can see – look, I think they're going to win this game. I think they get their sixth banner. I think Tommy shows up for OTAs. I think he's a full participant. And I think here we go for another couple
of years. Okay, he's going to show up. Why? Didn't he just prove he doesn't need the spring? But that's a story for another day, okay? Let's get to some phones here for Ted Johnson. Adam and Lowell, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I really wish people wouldn't sleep on Jared Goff. He was the first overall pick for a reason. He didn't win a contest. And you got to remember, the rough start to his career, he had Jeff Fisher as a coach. You could spot Jeff Fisher, Aaron Rodgers, and the 86 Bears defense. He'd maybe go 9-7. Let's not sleep on Jared Goff.
Okay, so I'm not, I respect the combo. You know, I think McVay, as much as, you know, people lose their minds over him, did a really good job with this guy and is, you know, he really coaches him hard, coaches him up, you know, to the point where, like, with this big thing this week is that 15-second shutoff on the headset. Mm-hmm. Like, McVay's in his ear right to the very last. And so that's what I respect. I mean, you know, Nick Foles in a vacuum doesn't really scare you. Doug Peterson, you know, that's what made Nick Foles, I think. And so that's what I respect is that coach-quarterback combo over there. I think they got something going on.
No, it's a nice combination. I just don't think it's going to be the combination that's good enough to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in this team at this moment. It's kind of like you can win a lot of regular season games with a great coach and great quarterback. Can you win the whole thing, you know, and be consistently playing in the big games like this Houston does, you know, like Belichick and Brady does? That's a whole different, this is a whole different animal, guys. That's all. I mean, in the first half in last week's game, the kid was rattled. That's all. All right. The kid was rattled. He got it back. He got his composure. All right. He made the plays in the end. You know, can he do that against a Bill Belichick coach defense? The game plan is going to be a game plan he hasn't seen. Okay. And I know that the headset turns off after 15 seconds. Well, then, you know, there's enough time for the Patriots to disguise and give different looks and show one thing and do something different and have the kid confused. And I mean, you know, the hell, they had Phillip Rivers, you know, every other play seemed like a delay game play or a, you know, penalty because of the confusion that the Patriots were showing him. I don't think that's going to be any different in this game.
Dan in the car, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, I just want to call in with two quick points. One about last year in the Super Bowl defense. The week before that against the Jaguars in the AFC Championship, the defense was not that great either until the second half when the Jaguars got scared and just ran the ball on first and second down every single time. And two, don't know if you saw it, but Dante Stallworth put out on Twitter last week that after the 07 loss to the Giants, that Bill did in the locker room say that he was sorry, put the loss on himself, and that he should have done a better job for that game. So thanks, guys. Love
okay.
the show.
That's interesting. I don't feel like Bill's that guy, but you tell me, did he ever come into the locker room and take ownership of a mistake?
Not. We didn't make a lot, you know? So and it was kind of one of those, whenever we had a loss here and there, it would be more like, we got to coach better. And that was it. I've never heard him say, this one's on me, put it on me.
Right.
But again, there wasn't a lot of games where we would want that response from him. I mean, we won a lot of games, a lot of big games. You know?
Do you think he would have had to say something to the team about Malcolm Butler? Because, you know, I don't know if you remember all the fallout from it last year. You know, Malcolm Butler, there were all these rumors that he was late or drunk or high or missed something or got into a fight, and he, you know, denied them all on this Instagram post. And all the Patriot, you know, a lot of Patriots veterans came out and, like, you know, gave him the old thumbs up emoji or whatever, like, you know, supported the post and threw their weight behind him. So if Malcolm Butler did something wrong, his teammates didn't care. His teammates had his back.
Sure.
Do you think Belichick had to say something to the team about why he did it or address it in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. I think we would all know about it. I think he would be afraid to say that to an entire team.
Because it would get out?
It would get out.
So it would.
I mean, not all those guys. I'm sorry. If you tell the whole team, there was no way he's ever gonna admit it ever, except to maybe his girlfriend. Oh, you're right.
For example, didn't we hear that after they traded Mankins, that he called in a couple of the key guys on the team after the fact and said, you know, okay, look, we got to move past this and sort of, and then, you know, ultimately the quote unquote leaders of the team pass that on to the other guys.
I can see that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Tony, I could see Belichick doing it that way.
Like, would he call in Brady and say, Tom, we got to move past this.
Or McCourty.
Or McCourty, you know, right. Better. Like Devin McCourty.
Yeah, but let's go case by case. The Logan Mankins thing is a whole different deal than a Super Bowl, right? I mean, to admit you screwed up to your team in regarding a not just any game, the game, I think would be very damaging to him. I think he would be worried that look, Belichick wants to give the appearance that he is invincible, that everything he does is the right decision. You don't question it. You don't challenge it. It's whatever he says goes.
This is how I feel.
So this is how, yeah, he is not going to openly admit something like that. Maybe something like a Logan Mankins thing, a more human kind of thing. I could see him maybe doing that.
Okay, we continue with Ted Johnson right after Murray's update. Who tickets coming up later this hour as well, so stay tuned for that.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before I go back to the phones, one of the things on your list here, Teddy's Rob Gronkowski. I think he deserves a special mention on what?
I thought Gronk played an outstanding game. It was one of those, did the big fella still have it in him? Like, I don't know if we all knew, right? I mean, it's been a while since he's had, the Miami game was the last big productive game he had. And so it was like, you know what? Look at Gronk out there making plays. Blocking his ass, okay, block. So you hear people talk about Gronk being a great blocker, a dominant blocker, okay? I will tell you this, all right? Gronk has been outstanding as the blocker. Okay, well, what is that? You know, when you see Dwayne Allen getting his ass knocked back 2 yards, you go, oh, that's how blocking by the tight end position is supposed to be. Well, do what Gronk does, because Dwayne Allen isn't even on the same level as far as a block. I mean, literally anything you want on the edge, on the perimeter, you got.
Does that Rams running game scare you at all? I know I'm flipping other sides of the ball, but
no.
I know they have that zone blocking scheme that used to give you trouble. Is that like what Denver used to do? Same sort of thing?
Yeah, same time, same, and then play action off of it. No problem. You know who used to do that? Colts. Colts used to do that. You know what the number one personnel group is for the Rams?
Go ahead.
Is 11 personnel. One tight end, one running back, 3 wide receivers. Do you know what the Colts' number one personnel grouping was? When
11.
It was 11.
Don't the Rams do it like 90% of the time?
Oh, it's like almost every play. Okay? And so there you go. It's kind of like, you know, there's already, you know, teams that have this kind of philosophy in the past that you can draw from. Game plans that have been put together against Peyton Manning, I think, would work out great against this team, this offense, and Jared Goff. The one thing is that I think you have to blitz a little bit more. I think this defense, like, we never blitz Peyton Manning. I mean, he'd kill you. You blitz Peyton Manning, he's just – so you drop 7, you drop 8, and
– beat up the receivers.
Beat up the receivers. That was the game plan, Mike. But this defense got its kind of, like, identity. Like, what is this defense's identity?
They got aggressive at some point towards the end of the year.
After the bye week. After the bye week, all of a sudden, they were like, let's dial up the pressures a little bit more. Let's really, you know what? Defenses love that. When you have an aggressive play caller, that I think what shifted for our 2001 team, our defense in particular, was we dialed up a ton of pressures against the Atlanta Falcons, like week 7 or 8, like right before we played the Rams. And Rax calling blitzes, and we are getting, it was Chris Chandler. His nickname was Chris Chandelier, right? Chris Chandelier, because you knock him out.
He broke a lot.
Right. So I think we might have had 7, 8, 9 sacks against Chris Chandelier. Knocked his ass out of the game. Michael Vick comes in the second half. He's like running around, scoring points. But we had such a big lead, it didn't matter. But it gave us kind of this identity and this very much an aggressive mindset. So even when we weren't blitzing, we were still more aggressive, if that makes sense. And in the quarterback felt pressure, even though you weren't pressuring him, because you were, you know, mixing in really good blitzes here and there. I think that's what's happened with this defense. I think they got an attitude, a confidence now, because of the play calling got so aggressive after the bye week. And defenses, if you can execute blitzes and pressures, then they will keep dialing them up. And you just love an aggressive play caller. And Brian Flores and Bill has been more aggressive after the bye week, and it's paying off.
Okay, here's Fred in Shrewsbury. You're up next with Ted Johnson. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, everything Teddy said is I agree with. I'm glad you guys brought up Malcolm Butler. This team had a hangover from last Super Bowl. You saw it with Brady, what he did. He didn't go to his OTAs. Gronk wanting to retire. I don't think any of that comes into play. They win this Super Bowl. They had a disconnect with Bill. He didn't take responsibility. The Butler thing.
Let me just stop you, but you know, before I start rambling, because your comment line said Eagles' loss last year motivated the Patriots this year. Not until recently. I mean, would you say this was a team on a mission this year?
No.
No.
It was just the opposite. Sort of like they took their time. They showed up late to work. They didn't show up at all some weeks and just sort of took their sweet time. Now, though, now you're back in the Super Bowl, and Kyle Van Noy says we were humbled last year and we're not taking anything for granted, and it's sort of like now that's on the table.
Mm-hmm. Is this what the narrative is going to be twisted into? They meant to lose last year's Super Bowl? I mean, that's essentially what that sounded like from that guy. Now, yeah, no, they really had to get pumped up for this year. Yeah, complete no-show in Tennessee. They lose two straight in December. Yeah. Please, stop it.
Yeah. No, that Super Bowl had a negative impact for this entire season.
Right.
It had – there was no – they had – they had no desire to go out there and lay it on the line. It was just the opposite until the very end. Until the very end, when it again, it was just set up. The schedule, the situation was set up for them to peak at the right time. It was one of those deals where you're like, you know, are we done screwing around? Are we? Can we just get over what happened last year? Let's all start playing the way we're capable of playing. Let's get serious about this. I mean, we got it all right there in front of us. Let's go. And that's what they did. They hit the proverbial switch, Mike, which they've never done before.
Which, you were right. What can I tell you? That's a new T-shirt. You were right. Melvin and
Dorchester. I agree with Ted Johnson.
Go ahead, Melvin.
Hey, I just have two important factors for the Patriots to win this Super Bowl. If the referees let these guys play and the defense plays lights out, they have to. They're getting there. But they have to play lights out.
Okay, so let me just stop you with one point because I always forget two. Who's it more important for the refs to, quote-unquote, let them play, the Patriots or the Rams? Because I look at Aqib Talib and I look at Marcus, I look at Ndamukong Suh. I look at the way those guys play.
Rams.
And I feel like
they're badasses. If you let them play, they're going to be animals out there.
As much as J.C. Jackson holds and interferes on every single snap.
Very handsy.
Okay? I think... I don't know. That would play more to the Rams' benefit than the pass. But what do you think?
Yeah, that's – you know what? My first thought was the Patriots. Like, the very first – and then I forgot about the opponent. And then you describe all these players that keep so handsy. I mean, oh, my – Peters, you're right. But I also think the Patriots want to have a very aggressive kind of game plan as far as – look, the same game plan against the Chiefs. Get up in their face. Tony Romo kept saying it in the telecast. Get up, jam them, disrupt them off the line of scrimmage, be very physical with J.C. Jackson getting penalties, holding penalties. I'm okay with that. You know who used to do that all the time? Ty Law. But it set this kind of like this thing where these guys knew it was going to be a long day.
Okay, but the aggressiveness part of it, Ted, and again, now I'm talking, you know, Ben Volen in the Globe today said that everything points to them doing the opposite in this game, to them playing zone, that it's a better scheme against Goff, that Goff has difficulty with zone. Mm-hmm. So if you play man-to-man, aren't you playing into their hands?
But you can play zone even with press coverage, all right? You can play cover two with press coverage, okay? As long as you've got two safeties deep, go put the corners up on those guys. Put the linebackers up on the slot receiver. Hit them, because you got two safeties right behind you. So you can still play zone coverage and be very physical with the wide receivers.
Okay, Ted has more on the matchup, the Wade Phillips matchup, right after this. And we're giving away. You ready, Murray? You got your fingers ready?
Let me get on the phone.
Come on.
Hold on. What do you got?
Well, T-Bone's back there taking the call, not Billy. We got who tickets?
I'm gonna cry. If I'm not the guy to win those pair of tickets, give me those tickets. Wanna win those tickets? Come on, Felga. Hello? It's ringing. T-Bone, hello? Hello?
Billy keeps telling me he's going to give me tickets, but I think it's a put on. It's an Eminence front.
Who tickets coming up next?
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wade's system is his system, and then within that system, there's plenty of variety, so they can get to what they need to get to. Again, I don't think they're going to, you know, we're going to see like three new fronts and three new coverages in this game that he hasn't run in the last 30 years. I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen, but it does, we'll adjust to it, but that's... They do what they do in their system. They do it well. They have a lot of confidence in it, which they should. He's been successful everywhere he's been. He's been doing it for 30 years in multiple organizations with multiple groups of players against, you know, every kind of offense he could see. So I remember dealing it with him when I was in Cleveland. Basically, you know, and to his credit, there's not many. It's not many of us that have a system that can last that long. And you know, I've certainly changed a lot in the last 30 years, schematically. Wade really hasn't. I mean, he really hasn't. You got to give him credit for that. He's that system's lasted. I mean, really, this is part of his dad's system that he's developed and moved, you know, adapted and developed there. And I mean, I have a ton of respect for what he's done and how he's done it over every different kind of offense you can see, multiple tight ends, run and shoot, 10 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 21, 22. He's been able to do the same thing. Not the same thing, but he's been able to, his system has been able to handle all that. And I think that's a real credit to what he put together 30 years ago.
Bill Belichick on Wade Phillips. We'll give you the Who tickets in a few minutes. A couple minutes. But we got, Ted, you know Wade Phillips. He was in Houston when you were doing the radio show down there.
Sweetheart of a guy, yes.
So you know him well, you know his defense well, mm-hmm. You know him as a coach.
Yep.
Give me this matchup. Yeah, Belichick and Brady versus Wade Phillips' defense.
All right, so Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator for the Texans for a very long time, up until about a few years ago. And so you saw what the Texans used to do when they come up to Foxborough. They get their asses kicked. And Wade, for the longest time, he would basically run one coverage 80% of the time. Okay, and what coverage was it? It was cover one. He loves to get his D linemen in what? One-on-one situations. So there's no double team. So Domakan Su, you know, Aaron Donald, those guys can get Fowler. Those guys can get one-on-one blocks. You have to rush five to get that. So that's a blitz. You got a blitz. I mean, so it's man, single high safety, rush five, and that's his thing. That is his kind of bread and butter coverage. And then his attitude about the run. And this is where I think the Patriots can, again, roll out the same game plan on offense they have the last 2 weeks, run it down the throats. Oh, okay, but the running backs for the Patriots didn't even average over 4 yards a carry. Doesn't matter. Run, run, run. Keep running. At least run effectively.
Why? Because
early.
Could Wade – Wade doesn't care about the run?
Wade's attitude. This is Wade's, the son of bum. His attitude about stopping the run. We'll stop the run on our way to the quarterback. That's his attitude, okay? And that's what he says. And God bless him. That's great. But, you know, you can only get to the quarterback if you can stop the run. If you have a defense that's getting run on, then they're not going to be as good rushing the passer because the play action comes into play. It throws a pass rush off rhythm, particularly if. If the Patriots get up early on this team, then it makes it even easier. Then you can just, then you can dictate terms, if you will. But Wade's kind of thing is blitz, 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 blitz. He used to blitz more than anybody. I don't know if he's still doing it. Rush five, get single matchups. But how did the Patriots kind of neutralize that when he was the defense coordinator for the Texans? The ball would come out so fast, and so J.J. Watt. Never would ever get to Tom because the ball would come out so fast. And you know what you're going to do against those? Belichick would do against the Texans when they played them? Power game. Two guys on J.J. A lot of double teams on those guys. Wear Aaron Donald, Domakan Su out. I know those are two beefy guys in the middle, but you run power game, power game, power game, play action.
Well, so
that's the formula for success.
Steven Dedham, quickly, your question.
Yeah, I just want to ask Ted Johnson, does he think this matchup with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, is it any similar at all to J.J. Watt and Clowney? Is this going to be like the same thing?
Okay, so you just hit on that. That's why I took it.
Yeah, I think it's exactly the same thing. I mean, Wade, again, he wants Aaron Donald to get single matchups. He wants Ndamukong Suh to have to just go up against one guy, not double teams. So you'll see a lot of five-man rushes. And so the way you do with that, you know, and it's man on the back end. Nobody's better at beating man-to-man coverages than the Patriots.
So you even know, though, the 2015 AFC title game in Denver, Wade Phillips, gotcha. And he switched up. He didn't blitz. He would have three- and four-man blitzes, and he sort of changed up his whole scheme. Does that make him dangerous there? Because now he realizes he just can't do it the way he did it all those years in Houston, and now what's the cat-and-mouse game there between them?
Yeah, look, if he calls the same game plan that he called against the Patriots when he was the Denver defensive coordinator in 2015, and then I think it's going to be there's going to be issues. Because for the first time, Wade Phillips mixed in zone coverages, and he had disguises, and he kept Tom off balance because he didn't basically – tell you what coverage he was going to be. If the Patriots know what coverage you're in, play out, they will kill you. And Wade finally changed it up, mixed up his coverages, and it had Tom baffled there. It really did. I mean, the kid, even though he threw for over 300 yards, I mean, he was really just early on affected by what was going on. You know.
Okay. Ted, thanks for coming in again, man.
Boys, it's a pleasure. Okay. I feel good that I got to do my little victory lap against you guys.
It's true. I disagree with Ted Johnson. That's a hell of a shirt.
Yeah,
I want one.
You'll get
it. All right,
yeah,
so I'm going to
mass producing these. All right. Hey, you guys have fun. Real quick, can I do a little self-promo?
Do it.
I'll be on this Saturday with Apex Entertainment, 2 to 5, me and Christian Arcan. So come out and say hi to us. We'll be out there, 2 to 5, Apex Entertainment in Marble this Saturday.
Awesome. And you're not going to Atlanta, so but just to keep this going, maybe we'll give you a jingle on Thursday just to check in.
You let me know. I don't expect it, but you boys have fun, okay?
Try the go-karts at Apex. You'll love them.
All right, we'll do, man.
Thanks, Teddy.
See you guys.
Here's this. I forgot. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group. Here we go, Murray.
Yeah.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see The Who at Fenway Park on September 13th. Tickets are now on sale at redsox.com/ The Who.
I don't want to buy them. I want to win them. Because I've been calling all night. Just let me win them, all right. Felger's got the tickets. He's not picking up for his fight. That's because he's a squid and Maz is bald. And he's a squid and Maz is bald. Hello? Is Ted still there? Can I talk to Ted? Hello?
No, he's gone. T-Bone's got you on the tickets. Good luck, caller number 10. They're available for you at redsox.com/ The Who. I'd like to pick up this Wade Phillips thing on the other side with some more X and O stuff.
I just want to go to the concert to get high with Murray.
We're going to do that right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.